I'm sitting here with one of my favorite people in the entire world, Lisa Nichols. I've learned so much from this woman. But one of the main things about Lisa, and you know, it's important, it's almost impossible, Lisa, to talk about just the impact you've had on my life and the lives of like millions of others, because you teach so many profound things. But there's one overriding skill that Lisa has that makes her such a great teacher and mentor and coach for millions. And that's the ability to use storytelling as a powerful tool to open up people's hearts, to move people, to teach, to learn, and to make herself stand out from everyone else. Lisa takes storytelling to a whole new art. Let me give you an example. Just a few months back, a 3-minute clip of Lisa, I think it was a clip of you on the Steve Harvey show. Yeah. So someone from Africa, a coach from Africa, shared that clip on his Facebook. And it was just 3 minutes. It was just Lisa speaking on a couch in the Steve Harvey show. And that clip, because of how effectively she told her story, then went viral on Facebook. 18 million people viewed that clip. And it wasn't a commercial thing. It was just this coach from Africa sharing it. And it just went viral. And Lisa also was chosen to appear on that hit film, The Secret, from some 10 years back. And The Secret became the best-selling DVD in history. And after it was released, many people said that Lisa was the one person in that entire DVD. They interviewed maybe 20 people. Lisa was the one person they felt the biggest connection with. So what is it that makes Lisa so effective at just swaying people emotionally and getting people to fall in love with her? And it's that art of storytelling. And this is what you're going to learn in this CE training. Lisa, all you.
Vishen, I'm so excited about this conversation because story, the power of storytelling is no new thing. Griots in Africa, long before they had books and access to standard education, griots were the storytellers of the village. And the griot was responsible. They were the most revered person beside the king, because storytelling is where history lives. Storytelling is where pride lives. Storytelling is where tenacity, resiliency, the human spirit is activated. Stories are literally, if desires are the goals, if desire is the gas, then the story is the turbo boost. So if you have a desire, okay, that's gas. The story of why you want to do what you do, that's your turbo boost. So I love the fact that we get to talk about what does it mean to tell your story. Every single person, no matter what business you're in, what you're doing in the world, you have a story and your story needs to be shared. And it's not just an emotional thing. It's not just to make people emotional. It's for people to understand your why. See, people choose you and then they choose whatever business you're doing. They choose you and then they choose whatever journey you want to invite them on. They choose you first. And then they say yes to whatever it is you're talking about. So your story is the one thing that's unique from anyone around you. Anyone can teach, you know, with all due respect, anyone can teach on speaking. Anyone can teach on the law of physics. Anyone can teach topics. It's just a matter of learning the knowledge. Only one person has your story. So when you look at your USP, your unique serving proposition, it lives in your story. When I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show in 2007, I was on with some of the most brilliant people on the planet, 4 other teachers from The Secret. I was the youngest. I had been in the industry the least amount of time. I was the newbie for all intents and purposes. And I knew that. However, I did one thing that no one else did when they were a guest on The Secret, on the Oprah Show. I shared my story. Within 72 hours, without having my email address up, without having any information available about me on the show, I received 9,782 emails, wow, which converted in 90 days to just below $400,000. That's what it converted to. So please understand, your story leads to an experience, leads to people choosing you, leads to you serving more, leads to revenues growing. Now, you may not be in it just for revenues to grow, but I gotta tell you that when you serve more, share more, feed more, deliver more, you earn more. So stories aren't just a topical thing that feels good. They're relevant, they're necessary. As I was sharing with Vishen before our cameras went on, if content that you're teaching and you're delivering, if content were the bricks that are the building blocks to someone's life that you're offering. Your story is the cement in between that holds the bricks together. Very necessary. So I'm going to teach you a couple of techniques. So if you don't have a pen, you want to grab a pen and a piece of paper now, because I'm going to teach you some techniques. I'm going to kind of fire them at you. So just hang with me.
And one thing I love about what you're saying, Lisa, and it's an important distinction that I want people to understand, is that storytelling isn't just for those of you who appear on camera or on stage. When you master this art,
correct me if I'm wrong,
this will turbocharge your business, your service. It will turbocharge the books you have. You can use this power
anywhere,
everywhere, to shine a light on any cause, any business, any product that you want to get out to the world.
If you think about an attorney, attorneys in court, they're just telling a story to win a case. And whoever tells the most compelling story wins the case. Every single thing you touch is impacted by your story. As an attorney, as a teacher, as an architect, there's not one line of business that you can be in that a story and a great story won't elevate your outcome. Every single line of business, every single line of service that you're connected to will be impacted and ideally elevated by the level in which you're willing to tell and share your story. So let me give you some guidelines, some parameters, what I like to call the bumper rails, as if you're going bowling. You know, when I go bowling, I ask them to put the little bumper rails down so I can my ball can get down the lane. So let me set up some bumper rails for you so that you understand what makes a great story. So one is the willingness to take risk. Most people, Vishen, when they're telling a story, they don't want to take a risk. So the story has its limits on how high it'll go or how deep it'll go. And when you have that, then you're really not at that part that's going to touch my soul. So being willing to take a risk, being clear and concise with your stories. A great story is a show me story, not a tell me story. Now, this is the distinction that's the game changer for most. Most people are telling a story. They say, so let me just share with you a little bit of my story, and I'll tell you and then I'll show you. So as I was building my life, there was a time in my life that was very difficult. It was very challenging. True story. Very difficult, very challenging, very uncomfortable. I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't have a lot of hope, and things just looked dismal. At some point, I had to turn my life around. At some point, I made the decision that life had to get better. I'm telling you that. It's decent. You learn about me. Then if I were to show you that story, I would say 6 days a week, I had to eat beanies and weenies. I had to find money in the crevices and the corners of my couch so that I can get my son milk. There were times when my heart would beat fast just at what am I going to have tomorrow? At some point, I got sick and tired of my own story. Is this going to be my future? No, I can't handle it. Notice the difference in that second story.
Wow. I completely see that.
I just painted a picture. Same story. Mm-hmm. Now, the second one, when you show a story, it's going to require more of you. It's going to require you to find the colors. What were you thinking? What were you experiencing? What was going on in your head? Instead of telling me you look for money, turn and point. Now, this is anywhere. This is anywhere you are doing anything. I promise you, you become a great storyteller and you will captivate your audience no matter what you're doing. I've captivated investors. I've captivated students. I've captivated educators because I was willing to show the story. I call it unpacking the story vision. Being willing to tell me, what were you thinking? What were you feeling? What were you seeing? Think about a story as an oral movie. And so in an oral movie, think when you're looking at a movie, the first thing they do is they identify what state of time it is. Is it futuristic? Is it in the now? Was it back in the day? You notice that based on what people are wearing, how they're talking. So paint that picture for me. Take me to that environment. Set the backdrop up for me. Show me what you're going through. Instead of saying I was angry, you can tell me you were angry. But when you say the hair on the back of my neck was standing up, I felt the fumes exiting my nose. I thought that my chest was going to pop and I was going to say something that I'd regret forever. Ooh, you just showed me you were angry. Take that extra time to unpack it. Why will most people not do that? Because it requires a level of vulnerability that we're not willing to share. You want more from the people around you? Give them more of you first. I want to show you a technique called the dip theory. Write that down. The dip theory. The dip theory is what I did on Oprah that got me 9,782 visitors. who found me. The dip theory is what I do on radio shows. It's what takes a 2-minute interview. They give me 2 minutes. I earn 8 minutes. It's what I did on the Steve Harvey Show that got 17, 18 million people viewing my video. But it's also what got the Today Show to call me. When the Today Show called me, I said, oh, you want to interview me about my relationship with Steve Harvey? They said, no, we want to interview about the story you told on the show. Your story will open doors. It will blow doors open for you to the degree in which you're willing to unpack the story. Here's how you unpack it. I'm gonna give you a visual. So I want you to make a big V right now on your paper. And at the top, you make a big V. At the top left-hand corner of your V, I want you to write big me, my bio. Now, you can do this anywhere and everywhere. Now, when you see me on a video or you see me live or you see me at an event, watch, you'll say, she's doing the dip, because I do the dip consistently. As I get dressed every day to speak, I do the dip every day. It comes with the package because it's one of those no risk, it works every time vision. So at the top left-hand side of your V, you write big me, my bio. My brand is known in 162 different languages. That's that I'm working on my 7th bestseller in my business. That's that I'm the CEO of a multi-million dollar company. That's the big me, right? Then you go down to the bottom of your V. The bottom of your V, I want you to write all-time low, challenging moment, difficult time. And in that bottom, that's where you take me to so I see your humanity. That's where you take the risk. And I'm going to show you something. I'm going to share with you at the end of telling you about this whole dip. I'm going to show you something that's going to have you go, aha, about why you've connected to some speakers and while you haven't to others. Doesn't mean you don't respect the others. You just don't have a connection to them. You don't have that loyalty. You're impressed by them, but you're not bonded to them. Watch, I'll show you this after I show you the V. So at the bottom of the V is all-time low challenging. Now you have to know that this bottom place, you have many of them. The one that you would share should be relevant to the topic that you're speaking of in the moment. So if you're speaking about financial freedom, give me an all-time low financially. Don't give me an all-time low about your mom and not loving you. It's irrelevant to the conversation. So use the right dip for the right conversation. It has to be dip relevant is what I call it. And so I, on Steve Harvey, he was talking about transforming your life. So my dip, so I talked about 7 bestsellers. I'm working on my 7th, CEO of a multi-million dollar business in The Secret on Oprah, all time low. There was a time where I was broke and broken. And being broke was easier than being broken. There was a time where I didn't have money to put Pampers on my son. I had to sit and wrap my son in a towel for 2 days. And I remember him laying on his back and me, my hand on his stomach, and me promising him, Jelani, mommy will never be this broke again. A good story takes you into the story. You stop telling the story and you start being in the story. And then you come back out and go back out to your audience. See, you were just sitting with me on the couch with my hand on Jelani's stomach and me telling Jelani, mommy will never be this broken. You were right there with me because I took you out. I stopped telling the story and I brought you into the story and showed you my son and I right there on the couch. So that's my all-time low. And then to the upper right-hand side of the V, I want you to now write why I do what I do, my inspiration, why I'm choosing to serve you. So on your upper right-hand corner is your why. And so Jelani, I was at an all-time low. I had no money for him. I had no Pampers to cover him. I had no food to feed him, which is why I'm committed. I'm coming out the V to make sure that every single person's path that I cross, I leave you more inspired than you were before you met me, that I give you the tools to drastically transform your life into something barely recognizable. My commitment based on my journey is to touch as many people as possible and to put as many tools in their hands as possible to create the best life that they can possibly create. There's your dip.
That's amazing. And as you're talking about that, Lisa, I'm beginning to remember so many people I respect and their dip stories. For example, many people remember Tony Robbins and this one story that Tony Robbins consistently shared about how he was so broke at one point, he would be in a bathtub washing himself and washing his dishes yes. in that one yes. bathtub.
You
together.
Remember his story.
I remember his story.
His story inspires you.
I don't remember anything else about yes. that chapter from this book I read 5 years ago, but I remember that story. Yes. I remember Richard Branson's story of losing his, yes. his ex-wife, of riding to find her with her lover on Santorini Island yeah. on a donkey going up the hills of Santorini.
His dip.
It's his dip.
His dip.
I remember Elon Musk's story of losing everything trying to start SpaceX until he had no more money left. Yeah. He had one final rocket, and if that rocket exploded, he would lose everything.
His dip.
And he had to, but you see, but what I remember is what he said.
Right.
He didn't have enough rent. He didn't have enough money to pay his own rent. So he had to ask a friend if he could sleep on that friend's couch. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk couldn't pay his own rent. And that was as recently as 5 years ago. So it's those dips. And now I'm beginning to see that pattern. What you're saying is so enlightening.
And because you remember their dip, then you begin to connect to the rest of their story. Then you begin to remember their lesson. Now, to the flip of that, the opposite of that, I said I was going to tell you why you don't stay connected to people as well. The people who you don't remember, because you've heard many, many speakers, you hire them, you partner with them, you go see them, right? The reason why, think about that V, big me, why I do what I do in the world. And here's the glue, you just shared that dip. You don't remember people when they jump from the big them to their inspiration without giving you their why. Most people, most teachers, most business people, most successful people, they forget, they avoid the dip and they go from the big them, their bio, to why they want to teach us. And they don't tell us what they had to go through to get there. Mm-hmm. And we're learning differently now. There's a new generation. There's a new generation of transformational teachers and speakers and coaches and business people and people in just humanity that are saying, I'm not afraid of my story. My story is my fuel. It's not my fortress. So you have to become very comfortable with your story before you'll ever be willing to share it with us. And you determine the degree in which you're willing to share. There are stories that I will share early next year when my book comes out that I've never shared before. Why? I wasn't ready. And I'm okay with that. You choose the story that you're ready to share. But you find it, you hone it, you master it, and then you use it to inspire others. What you're doing in the world now, because you picked up those three stories and a few others, will transform the planet. Tony shared his story for that reason. Richard shared his story for that reason. I share my story for that reason. Your story doesn't ever really belong to you. It belongs to you only for the moment in which you're living through it. Then you shape it in such a way that you can serve it up to someone else. Just last night here at your event, someone came to me, a teacher, one of the teachers who's on stage, and she said, I had a very difficult and scary test that I had to take, an MRI. She said, and I'd just seen you on YouTube at a previous Awesomeness Fest. She said, and I kid you not, she said, I've been looking for you all night to tell you that I didn't know how I was going to get through that MRI. I'm so claustrophobic. I didn't know how I was going to get through it. She said, but what I did is as soon as I went in that MRI, as soon as I saw the walls closing around me, I closed my eyes and I chanted, quitters never win and winners never quit. Quitters never win and winners never quit. She goes, for 5 minutes, that's all I chanted. And then when I opened my eyes, the doctors were looking down at me saying, we're done. So your story, my story, your story, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the people in the world that need it. You've already lived through it. It's already right. done. Your job is to learn how to craft that story in such a way that it becomes an instrument for others to use.
Beautifully said. Now, to what extent does authenticity play in this?
So,
because I don't want people to get the idea that they can just make up a story as a performance.
No, it's not a performance. It literally cannot. And by the way, we're brilliant people. We can smell a performance. We can smell a shtick. We can smell a tap dance. Curtains up. We can smell, especially in this time of social media, where so much realness is being portrayed every hour of every day. Your story has to be yours. Matter of fact, your story has to have cost you something. And when your story, you're willing to share the story that costs you something. And let me give you some examples. You're willing to say the thing you're not always comfortable to say. You're willing to have the thought and share the thought that you really didn't want to share. You're willing to take us into the place of a feeling of vulnerability, discomfort, fear, shyness, distraction, need. And you're willing to walk us through that moment with you. We have more compassion and gratitude for you because we know that you had that option. We know that you had that choice. When you choose to trust us, we choose to trust you. Your audience is going to be a mirror. Your students, your customers are going to be a mirror of what you give them to the degree in which you're willing to put out your heart, your soul, your compassion, your connection is to the exact degree that your audience, your future customer, your future student is willing to match you with that. I look at my life vision and I'm in awe of it. I say it in the most humble way. I'm in awe of it. Because all I'm doing is using my truth, using my story to hopefully inspire someone else. I used to think it has to be harder than this. It can't be this easy. That the more truth I share, the more people fall madly in love with me. Are you kidding me? The more transparent I am, the more I use my truth as a catalyst versus a fortress, the more people say I choose you. Now, couple with that, I build my skill set as a leader. Couple with that, I learn systems and ways to transform someone's business. Couple with that, I learn how to help people get past where they normally stop. So I develop my skill set. Your story isn't enough, but your story is the soil by which all other seeds will be fertilized. See, people will come to you for an experience and then they'll leave you. People will stick with you because they decided that you are their tribe. You are their teacher. That happens in the likeness that they find from you. The likeness is seen in the story. Go back to the V. Go back to the dip that I taught you. Your bio, the big you, is here. And the why you're inspired to do things here. And your difficult time is right here at the base, right? Everywhere in your tribe, everyone in your tribe, everyone in your community is right in the middle. You have to go down to pick them up when you come back up. When you go down and come back up, you're picking up everyone. When you jump from top to top, you only get people who are living up there. And the masses are in the middle. They're not at the bottom. They're not even in that destitute place. They're not there. They're right in the middle. And you got to go down and come up and pick them all up. And there's a skill set to that. There's a way by which you tell me who you are without sounding like you're reading your bio. And this is how you do it. I'm going to teach you how to do it. So you don't say, I graduated from. When people start like that, I go, oh, I want to sit with you. Just give me 5 minutes with you. You start like this because you're about to kind of brag on yourself. You got a lot. You have a lot in your bio. I need your big part of you vision as much as I need the depth. I need both because I'm a game changer. I work world class. I'm a gladiator. You need to keep my attention. You cannot keep my attention just in that I've suffered. Mm-mm. But you can't just read a bio either because then it's a brag fest. Yawn, you're boring me, right? So here's how you do it. The key words, I'm going to give you very small words that if you lose them, you lose the element. It's the ingredients. My grandmother says, sweetheart, you can't change the ingredients of a sweet potato pie by changing sweet potatoes. You gotta always have sweet potatoes. You gotta always have some cinnamon and you gotta always have some nutmeg. Now you may add some other things to it, but you can't change those. This is like that. Okay, a great dip has these ingredients every time. So when you're speaking about the big you, the upper left-hand corner of the V, you intro the big you with, even though I. Even though, keyword, even though I, because you've told me there's something coming after that, and I want to hear what's coming after that. And now I give you permission to do the whole breakfast because I want to hear what's coming. Even though I've traveled the world and spoke to over 30 million people, even though I have 6 bestsellers, even though my brand is known in over 162 different languages, there was a time when I had no idea who I'd be. There was a time when I couldn't figure out what I was going to do tomorrow. Even though I'm a great CEO today, there was a time I was so broken that I would have been of no good to anyone. Do you see how that, wow, that gave permission to you listing all the things that you're doing? Mm-hmm. It just gives permission. It doesn't change the story. It actually changes my listening. See, a great leader not only controls the content, but a great leader controls and manages the listening. Not from a control-based management, but from a place of responsibility. I'm going to set up your listening so your listening ear is hearing in the right vein through the right lenses that I need you to hear this through. Now, when someone else has introed you, and you'll have this a lot, I have this a lot. When someone else intros me, which is what like you'll do, and they intro the big me, I don't come behind them and do any more of that. So if your bio is big and you're being introduced through a big bio, don't bother to do the big you. Someone else did it for you. My promo reel, when someone looks at my promo reel, it does it for me. So I come out and say, this is what I do to go right into the dip. You saw that? I look at her and who I am today and I'm in awe because that's not who I've always been. Boom.
Brilliant. I've seen you do this, but now I'm seeing the science behind the why science you do behind. This and why people connect so powerfully with you.
Because, and I do it because once you've chosen that we have a likeness, now you want to hear whatever else. Now you're willing to come and be served by me. Now you're come and willing to listen as if she's not that far apart from me. Someone told me once, you remind me of Oprah. And because of that, sometimes I have a hard time believing that I could do what you've done. And I said, oh, well, let me show you some of where I've been. And I talked about credit cards being declined. I talked about robbing Peter to pay Paul. I talked about my son's father going to prison. I talked about being considered clinically depressed and being diagnosed as clinically depressed and prescribed Prozac. And as I did it, her eyes opened wide. And she said, so what do you recommend for me? She instantly became willing to be my student. But for a minute, only hearing my bio, I wasn't qualified anymore to teach her. I had to go to the place where I could pick her up. She's in the middle. So your story is powerful. Your story now can be as short as 2 minutes and as long as 10. I would recommend that you keep your story part of any conversation somewhere between 2 and 6 minutes, depending on how much time you have. Your story should only take up about 5% of your overall time. Otherwise, the conversation is too much about you. Your story is a way in which you build bridges to you and your audience, whoever your audience is. And now once the bridge is built, now teach me viable content. Now also, that's a dip. A story also can be designed to just inspire the soul. So education teaches you what to do. Stories are designed to inspire the soul. The quitters never win and the winners never quit story is designed to inspire the soul. I tell another story about how I wanted to sit on Oprah's couch. For years, I pictured sitting on Oprah's couch. And when I got to the Oprah show, there were stools there. And I was so disgusted. So stories also have to be willing to reveal the small side of you. You have to take a risk and let people see your smallness. I was on the Oprah show and here I was. I had my moment that I've been dreaming about for 20 years. I wanted to sit on her cream leather couch. She has stools today? Really? Really? Like of all days, you could have stools on the other guests. You got stools. So I just be willing to let my smallness out. And it was real. Now in a good show me story, you show the anger. Really? Like what? Where are the stools? Like, come on, Oprah, I need the stools. Now, on the outside, I was going, hi, Oprah, it's a pleasure to meet you. On the inside, I'm going, I want to go to the storage bin. I want to see the freaking couch. I had this vision. I told all my friends, I'm going to smell her couch because Oprah has the best leather, I'm sure. I left the show having had this experience with Oprah and people said, how was it? And I'd say nice, but on the inside, I was like, I didn't see the couch. I had this small but it was nice, but. So in this story, I reveal how I have the highest acknowledgement of me in media history, and I still have a but. And then you point in a good story, you can point out to the audience right there and interrupt the story. How many of you are living your dreams, and yet in the middle of living your dreams, you have a but this. in the grandness of your life, you actually spend time on the but. And you leave people hanging there for a moment. And then you leave the story. And you can leave a story and go back into the lesson and then pick it up 10 minutes later. 2 weeks later, I get a call from NBC. And they said, Miss Nichols, we'd love for you to consider doing a show with us. I said, what's the name of the show? They said, well, we're thinking the Lisa Nichols Show. And I'm thinking, I like that name. They build a studio for me while I'm in Africa with my son. I come back. I walk into the studio and there's wood panels and there's big pillows and there's my name, Lisa Nichols, and there's a picture of my afro and there's just all this cool stuff. And on the stage, it's a cream leather couch. I walk up to the stage. I sit down on the couch. Remember, show them. I sit down. I touch it. It's leather. It is leather. It's nice leather. And the producers and the directors immediately begin to yell, Miss Nichols, do you like the wood? Miss Nichols, do you like the font? Miss Nichols, do you like the colors? I said, excuse me, wait. I got to do something that I was going to do on the Oprah show, but I didn't get to do it because she had stools. I smell the leather. And then I come back out and you go back to the lesson. And I said, sometimes you're trying to sit on someone else's couch. And God's trying to give you your own couch. And so a great story, you kind of feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. You feel that? Almost choked me up.
Yeah, there. A great story will take you. A great story, to the point, is a story that's willing to disrupt you. A great story is willing to take your soil and till your soil a bit. It's willing to leave you pondering. A lot of times when you're presenting to someone or you're teaching someone, we're so concerned about the silence. And sometimes it's the very thing you need your listeners to have is silence, the discomfort of listening to their soul for a brief moment. So that's a story. And so I just want to show you that stories go in and out and lessons can be interjected. And the story becomes the glue. See, I taught you in between that, but it's going to be the smelling of the couch and that's the glue. And when you have great glue, people stick to you. When you have great glue, and the glue is in your story.
Now, Lisa, how would someone apply this to say, two questions. First, how would someone who's writing a blog post or writing a book apply these principles to writing? And secondly, and you can answer this later, but how would you apply these principles to marketing or positioning your business or your service?
Absolutely. I love that question. I love it. So writing is a movie just in written form. When I wrote No Matter What, I would get thousands of emails with people feeling like they had been with me, asking about my son, Jelani. They still check in to this day because they feel like we were together because I didn't tell them a story, I showed them a story. So in your blogs, unpack, what were you thinking? What were you feeling? It is going to take you more words. But the benefit on the other side, the ROI, is going to be that you painted such a clear picture for me that I now am not reading your blog, I'm with you. Now we're in relationship. What does that do? It increases my longevity and my loyalty to you. So as a blogger and anything in written form, book, written form, I recommend that you read some of my writing, not just my post on Facebook. I mean, read writing where you see, I call it unpacking the experience. And when you unpack the experience, you take me in the inside. You take me behind the black curtain. What was going on? Where were you going? It's going to feel more vulnerable. Promise you this, you will write it and then you'll wonder if you should press post. If you wonder if you should press post, reread it. If there's so much energy in it that you feel like I'm going to be afraid of people knowing this, press post faster. Don't back away from it. I have a piece of material out right now like that. A lot of times the way you get it out best first is you record it. Because you talk a little more, you'll be a little more explorative. I was interviewed by Essence Magazine, 8.9 million readers, about my weight release. I don't call it my weight loss because I don't want to find it anymore. It's a weight release. It's forever gone. And I was just talking vision. telling the story. And I let them post the story the way I told it. And I refused to edit it because I knew I'd edit out everything that made me feel uncomfortable. Well, when it came out, and 8.9 million people were reading it, plus, because it was online, I started getting an influx of emails and calls. I only read it after it was published. Was I comfortable with it? No, I wasn't. Was it some of my best work ever produced? Yes, it was. And it raises the bar. And it also drew 10,260 people into my database.
Wow.
It was the glue. It literally was the glue. The show on Steve Harvey added about 46,000 people to my Facebook.
From that 3-minute clip. That
three minutes and 28 seconds, about 42 to 48,000 people went to find me. And on that video that went viral, I didn't say my name. There's no way, and my name wasn't at the bottom. They had to hunt for me and find me. And I tell you, in any form of communication, think of you're here and your market is here. In anything you do, you're here and your market is here. Your job is to build the spokes to get to your market in the way by which it draws them back to you. Every road that leads to your market should have a story in it, whether it's a marketing piece of collateral material, online material, whether it's a blog, whether it's a book, whether it's online, whether it's live. Everything that leads from you to your market should include a story in your marketing material. Not just anecdotal testimonial, but in your marketing material, tell the story. I love marketers because you're creative. You already think in colors. Marketers already think in colors. You think colors, you think context. I'm going to charge you, challenge you as a marketer. And if you're a business owner, you're a marketer. If you're an entrepreneur, you're a marketer. If you're the brand, you're a marketer because you have to know how to talk to people in such a way that they follow you, that they find you. You do that inside the commitment of purpose and delivery and result, and you also do it inside the story because the story allows them to choose you to be the deliverer of that content. Newsflash, you're not the only one that does what you do. They have choices. Everyone that's looking for you is looking for someone else. They're looking for the result that you can produce more than they're looking for you. Why would they look for you over the result? Through your story. I want you to really hear what I just said. If someone wants to transform their life, they can pick me or Jack or Tony or Yanla, or they can pick 1,000 people, 2,000. What will make them choose me is that they feel connected to me. What will make them feel connected to me is the relevancy that we have. And so there's not one piece of business that you will do that doesn't have your story be relevant in it, not one. And the one thing that I would love to help you do, and hopefully what I've done here is heightened your awareness on the relevancy of stories, taught you one quick technique on how to make a dip. There's so many other layers to a great story, and there's so many things you need to practice in a great story, so many ways you need to know how to get in the story and out of the story. One of the ways of getting in the story is to not say, I want to share a story with you. Don't ever announce your story. Drop into your story. Don't ever say, I'm going to share a story. Pastors do that all the time in church. I'm going to share a story. I always go in my head because I'm kind of bad. Just share the story. Don't tell me I'm going to share the story. Just share the story. Don't announce anything. Just give it to me because it's a little more edgy. It keeps me on the edge of my seat. I don't ever want to know what's coming because then you keep my undivided attention. So in a story, don't say, I was shocked. Just shock me. And if you set me up, say, what happened next forever changed my path. Now you got me on the edge versus saying my path was forever changed. And just a tweak of words.
Wow.
Just the tweak of words keeps the listener, like I'm scooting to my edge right now telling you, it keeps me to the edge to go, what happened next? What happened next? What happened next? And you get me to the point, I love when I hear people say, I couldn't blink. I couldn't breathe while you were talking. I had to go to the bathroom so bad, but I couldn't move. I didn't want to miss anything. Like, who does that in an educational session when you're blending great stories in? And so it all leads back to what value you're bringing your audience, what value you're bringing your consumer, what value you're bringing. And this happens everywhere. Stories with your children. I'm not just speaking of just business. Stories with your children. I love it when my nieces or my nephews say, Auntie, tell me that story again. But the story has a lesson in it. And so I'll walk away with 3 points. One is your story is the glue that sticks all of your content together. Two, your dip is relevant because it picks up every perspective student or audience member that you want to have. And three, stories are the things that define your unique serving proposition. And so stories are critical. If anything, I wanted to up-level the necessity and the urgency or the importance of stories. To tell a great story, you need to agree to show it over telling it. To show a story, you need to be willing to tell me what you were thinking, what you were feeling, what was going on in your head, what was going on in your heart. Be willing to take greater risk. And at the end of the story, you want to end the story in a crescendo. Always a crescendo. Tell a great story like Chicken Soup for the Soul tells stories. I co-authored two Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and I read 5,500 stories to come up with the best 200 stories because they have to end in a crescendo or else it's a da-daunt. So make sure you learn how that's the craft of a storyteller. You don't just end it in any way. You end it in a crescendo. Find out how. And then you create a bridge from your story back to your content. It has to make sense and be relevant on why that story was placed right there.
Could you give us an example of what you mean by ending in a crescendo?
Absolutely. So, there's so many crescendos. So, ending a story on a crescendo says, when I tell the story of my son, and my son, he would break his Tonka toy, his Mattel Tonka toy. You know how guys have the trucks. And my son would break his toys in 14 days, no matter what he did. So I brought my son a toy, and I expected to break in 14 days. Well, it didn't break in 14 days. I would normally only spend $14 for a toy, but this toy I spent $44 for. It was a Mattel Tonka toy. And I talk about how my son played with this toy for 2 years, and it never broke. And I then go into speaking about how my son did everything to this toy, but this toy wouldn't break. I was surprised that the toy wouldn't break, but Mattel wasn't. Mattel built this toy to last. Mattel built this toy to outlast my son. He knew my son. Mattel knew my son was going to pick this toy up and drop it 1,000 times. So when they built the toy to last. And I say, when you were built, when you were designed by your creator, you were built knowing that you were going to go through some things. When you were on the assembly line, they said, vision is going to be betrayed. I got to build vision with forgiveness. John is going to go through some things. Lisa, she's going to be hurt. I got to build her with forgiveness. I got to build her with resilience. I got to build her with the human spirit. When you were built, when you were on the assembly line, when you were being created, you were built to last. Now, at the beginning of the story, I'm just talking about a toy. And then all of a sudden, I turn it out to you. You are like that Mattel Tonka toy. You are built with resiliency, perseverance. You are built with everything you need. Thus, I say, as you're building your career, know that you have everything you need, just like that Tonka toy. You have everything that you were designed, everything that's going to overcome obstacles, overcome urgency, overcome challenges. You have exactly what you need. So, and when you're building the bridge and you're crescendoing, crescendos only happen when you take it back out to the audience. The story doesn't end with you. The story ends with the audience so they can put it back in their pocket and make it their own again. And so that's how, and most people, when they turn inward, it collapses and it becomes contrite. When you turn outward, it expands. So every story at the end, the bridge at the end has to take it back to me. How is my life better? WIIFM. What's in it for me? Every story told has to have something in it for the person that's listening. And you don't have to have, don't make them search. You hand it to them. You are a Tonka toy. So every time it gets hard, I want you to say, it's Tonka, Tonka, Tonka time. It's Tonka, Tonka, Tonka time. And then if I was in front of an audience, the entire audience begins to go, it's Tonka, Tonka, Tonka time. Come on, you guys. It's Tonka, Tonka, Tonka time. Do you know I've had so many people, thousands of people come to me. I had a neurosurgeon said every day in my career is life and death. Every day. He said, I immediately left your seminar and I went and I bought a mini Tonka truck. And I sit on my desk, and whenever I'm on my way into a particularly difficult brain surgery, I touch my Tonka trunk, and I say, it's Tonka time.
Wow.
Amazing.
So, Lisa, that was some profound wisdom. I'm about to get on stage in a couple of hours. And I'm really thinking, how can I start applying this?
Now, huh?
Now, I can't wait. I hope you guys got a ton of incredible value from this. Remember, this is not just for those of you who are on stage or on television. Use this in your writing. Use this in your books. Use this to brand your business. Use this when you're talking to investors or trying to convince a great hire to join your company. It's all about being authentic, being vulnerable, showing that human side of you, mastering this art of storytelling.
And master the way you weave it into your offer, you weave it into your content. Master, storytelling isn't something you just do in happenstance. It is something that you practice, you perfect. It is a craft like everything else you do. It's a craft. And when you master it, when you've elevated your ability to insert it inside those critical moments, you will see everything else is up-leveled. It's the cinnamon, it's the nutmeg, it's the cherry, it's the whipped cream on top of everything you're already doing. It makes it all feel better. It makes it all more palatable. It takes it all to the next level. Stories, it's the secret sauce.
So Lisa, can you do a quick overview and recap of everything
Absolutely.
That we spoke about?
Absolutely, it's my pleasure to. Stories serve as the cement while your content is the bricks. Stories are the connection between you and your audience. A dip is necessary so that you pick up everyone in your audience. A dip shows the big you, it shows that all-time low relevant to whatever your topic is, and then it takes it to why you're inspired to do what you do. A dip is necessary to, a dip goes, gets you from 1 minute of media to 5 minutes of media. A dip is that thing that causes people to remember your name. If you walk away with one thing, walk away saying, I have to learn my dip. Dips are a part of your story. Stories are best shared when they're shown, not told. The way you show a story versus tell a story is you tell me what you're thinking, tell me what you're feeling, what was going on through your head, what was going on through your heart. Expose some of the emotions that were happening. Don't tell me you were mad, show me you were mad. Don't tell me you were scared, show me you were scared. And finally, bridges. It's very important to create a bridge going into your story and a bridge coming out of your story that connects back to your content and back to what you're selling. You can create bridges coming in stories and out of stories that allows us to have what I call teachable moments while I'm still telling the story. And when you're telling a great story and you want to move to a teachable moment, you want to invite the people that are listening by saying, write this down. And that gives them an indicator. I'm going back from story to content. When you simply say, write this down. And in the end, you are a griot. You are a storyteller. We were born to be storytellers. Stories are the fabric by which we love. That's why we love movies. Every movie you've seen is a thriller story, an adventure story, a love story, or a drama story. We live for great stories. So interject, become quite comfortable with your story. My last point, your story is yours. So I want you to begin to share your story to you first, and then begin to share to the rest of us. And every story doesn't have to end Pollyanna and perfect. Some stories, the greatest part of the story was the lesson learned. And when you've learned a lesson and you're willing to share your story with me, you're sharing your lesson with me. And I'm grateful for that. And so stories are critical. Stories are the pulse of humanity. And when you give the pulse of humanity as a gift to them, people will give you a gift back. Call it their loyalty and their love, their transparency, and their business.
Thank you, Lisa. And thank you for listening in, paying attention, taking notes, and bringing this into your life.